Okay, so we're live. Hey, Supernaturals. It is your host, Beverly Hines, founder and CEO of Hair Scripts, the platform that is helping women with hair loss issues, multicultural women, by connecting them to dermatologists, trichologists, and other hair restoration specialists who can help treat and support them along the way. So I'm really excited about our guest today, Dr. Edam Elias. She's a board certified dermatologist. She is a CEO, honey, and a founder of Amber Noon Clothing. It's designed for UV protection. And of course, if you don't know, she's a QVC spokesperson. And so I am so honored to have you here on the Supernaturals podcast to talk about Indian hair oiling methods, okay? Now, some of you are wondering, what is that? Okay, well, we're about to go into that today, but this is another form of maintenance, treatment, and prevention for hair loss. You know, we talk about hair loss and we like to dibble and dabble in other things, but today we're gonna talk about maintaining, you know, and preventing and treating hair loss with this Indian oiling method. So Dr. Elias, before we go into the topic, can you introduce yourself to the Supernaturals? Tell us about yourself and how did you get to this point?
Oh, so thank you so much for that great introduction. My name is Edam Elias, as you mentioned, and I'm a dermatologist in King of Prussia right outside of Philadelphia. I built a practice from scratch about 12 years ago, started with one patient and got to close to 30,000 after 10 to 12 years, and actually just merged with another larger practice where we actually even started a person of color clinic to ensure that our patients that are multi-ethnic have people to reach out to that actually understand what their traditions and cultures are to help understand how we can help them more effectively. And that's where a lot of the hair loss and hair growth methods that I've been integrating into our practice work, because I've learned that unless I understand how people approach their hair traditionally, I need to make sure that the only way the stuff that I'm going to prescribe will only work if I put it into a routine that they already do. Otherwise, it's useless.
Now, I'm really excited about this because you're actually the first person who brought up this type of method. We've heard about PRP. We've heard about, you know, medical cosmetic treatments. We've heard about, you know, some, you know, DIY treatments, but I've never heard of Indian hair oiling. So exactly what is Indian hair oiling?
So what's great about Indian hair oiling is it's actually a tradition or a custom that starts very early in life. They don't wait there to in India traditionally for you to actually have a problem with your hair to have to fix it. A lot of times, especially here, what we do is, you know, we wash our hair, you know, every day, every other day, once a week, once every other week. We have our own routines, but we don't actually actively avoid problems. What we're actually doing is we wait for our hair to get dried out, and then we say, what do we do to get it to get some luster back? Or we wait for us to get some hair loss, and then we say, oh my gosh, how am I going to get it back? What this technique does, and actually I've researched and looked into it more as I have so many patients who practice it and will discuss it in the course of their discussions about hair loss, is I realized that there's actually something to this. It's a multi-step method where they actually on a weekly or biweekly basis will sit down, massage the scalp, massage it with particular oils. Some of them are just traditionally in their own families that they'll choose from. A lot of times it's castor oil, olive oil, almond oil, coconut oil, various oils that they'll massage into the scalp, let it sit there for 30, 40 minutes, some people even overnight, and then rinse it out the next day. They start up at the scalp and work their way to the ends of the tips of their hair and then rinse. What's amazing is that each of those steps plays a role in stimulating hair growth and in increasing the strength and decreasing the breakage of hair as well over time.
So let's talk about those steps. First off, you mentioned a few oils. What's the number one typical oil that they use in this method?
You know, it varies widely because it is a very large country with lots of different ethnic groups and traditions. But I'd say just in the course of my practice and in my family's history, I tend to come across olive oil, coconut oil, and almond oil as the most common, and definitely seeing some castor oil as well used.
And then explain the steps and their benefits.
So the very first step, which is the one that surprised me the most, is scalp massage. Mm-hmm. So scalp massage, even in our medical literature, has been shown to stimulate the circulation in the scalp to promote the growth of hair follicles that are there. What we don't understand is a lot of times that the hair that's growing, we have hair follicles that are growing a hair, but they're not optimal. You're not getting the coarsest, thickest hair that you could grow. What massage does is it improves the circulation, pulls apart some of the follicles so that the hair that grows through is coarser and thicker. I try to encourage my patients when they really want to understand hair loss is don't think of your scalp as anything other than like a farm. What it is if the soil isn't good, it's not going to grow a good crop, which is hair.
Right.
So what massage does is it focuses on the soil. It's improving the overall texture of the soil, softening it so that whatever grows through can grow through at its best method.
You know, that's awesome. You said that because we hear this all the time. Listen, on YouTube, we hear it on the internet streets, okay?
Yes.
Scalp massage really does help towards hair growth. But the fact that you're actually saying there's data that supports that.
There are actual medical studies that have supported that scalp massage does work. And by integrating it on a routine basis, like they do culturally, there is something to this method where that's probably where most of the growth is coming, not from the oils necessarily directly themselves. It's not that they necessarily have elements that can improve the growth itself, but the actual growth, the improvement of the growth probably comes from the massage method itself. The oils definitely play a role, and I'm sure with more data, we may even find that some of them do help, I think primarily by reducing inflammation, working as anti-inflammatories, by helping improve the environment for the hair to grow. If you think of that farm analogy again, you think of it as you can have the environment where there's less, you know, things acting on the crops, you know, less bacteria, less yeast that can impact or impair the hair from growing. That's probably what the oils are doing more than anything else.
I love that you clarified that. We have so many different experts on the show, and every expert is different and they all treat differently. So I like to be very unbiased and have everyone here, right? And so a lot of people are kind of like pushing anti-oiling because we already have sebum on our scalp that's already doing what it's supposed to do, and you don't want to overstimulate that. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that is a great point. So what's interesting about sebum and oil production is you're absolutely right. At the base of every hair follicle, we do have an oil gland that's actively producing oil. When we go to wash our hair, that oil, those natural oils are stripped away. And then that oil production from the base of that oil gland starts up again, and it actually glides down the hair follicle. Believe it or not, there are actually studies that have shown that basically the oil migrates about an inch a day or every other day for the average person. And so for someone with short hair, what you'll find is sure, within a day or two, they have restored the natural oils to their hair as long as they haven't gone and washed it again to strip it away. But for someone with longer hair or anything beyond an inch or two, they may, in washing their hair too routinely, strip away oils before it makes it to the end of the hair follicle, which actually may mean that they don't get the full oil benefit down the length of the hair. So that's where I wouldn't say hair oiling every day or every other day, more like once a week or every other week to basically make up for what's been lost over those washes that people have had. You may actually find that you can further strengthen the hair that's coming through.
Okay, thanks for confirming that for a lot of people who were just like,
what do I do?
What do I do? So let's talk about the massage a little bit more, okay? Because define massaging, because some people can just go a little bit too much, they can
right.
be extra, and cause more harm than good. So how are these massages actually done?
Oh, you're absolutely right, because trauma hair is what we want to avoid. So you really just want this to be a massage where you're taking the pulps of your fingers, starting off in the center or the vertex of your scalp and working your way outwards. Mentally kind of thinking of it or imagining it as that's where you want the circulation to flow primarily then. And again, you don't want to be too vigorous where you're actually breaking hair in the process. This should really be just a gentle massage where you're actually allowing the hair to grow through. When I was younger, I remember, you know, sitting in a line and a grandmother sitting there and massaging these oils into our scalps, and
right.
it wasn't too vigorous. It was really just a matter of, it felt really good. You know, you felt like there's a little sort of almost like a massaging effect. And actually, even that alone, that step, the stress reduction that comes from taking that time for yourself, I do even think probably plays a role because so much of hair loss is stress induced. Especially when you see your hair coming out right from the hair follicle where there's that little white bulb at the end, that by definition tends to be stress induced hair loss. So I
Really?
almost even think that if you are seeing that step, taking that extra step, that me time, probably plays a big role in even helping relax you as well in the process.
So is this daily for 10 minutes or
Not
weekly?
daily.
Okay.
Either once a week, every other week, maybe even once a month, just some sort of a routine that works for you and your hair type as well. Because again, not everyone can tolerate the oils. I actually find that some people, a lot of times here we feel like our hair gets too oily, and so we feel like we have to wash it out. A lot of times you'll realize, though, if you let your hair go a little longer, you may not actually find that that's such the case. It's almost like our hair oil is produced based on what we're doing to our hair. It's like our hair just gets used to what we do. If you were washing your hair every day, it's almost like you have to wash it because then the oil starts to come out. But if you start to
More.
reduce your hair washing to like once a week or twice a week, you may find that you actually don't get as greasy as you did before. It
Right.
just takes a little getting used to.
Okay, so step two.
Yeah, so it's well, the oils in particular that you're choosing, maybe even warm them a little bit to your body temperature, a little bit cooler than that, and just gently massage them in. I try to tell people don't put too much thought into the oils. A lot of my patients will. I remember the best thing I remember is I had a physician's assistant I was training, and she came out of a room with an Indian woman, and she was looking up frantically on the computer hair oils. And I said, "What are you looking up?" And she said, "Well, this woman told me that her hair is falling out, and she's used the oils and they didn't work." And I said, and she said, "I'm trying to figure out if Rogaine or minoxidil comes as an oil." And because in her mind, she could not think of any other thing somebody would use. So I had to say, "Let's take a step back." And let me explain to you what she's talking about. So people will try different oils. They'll try to integrate turmeric or other sorts of herbs that they feel like may benefit, but ultimately it's the hydration that you're getting from the oil more than anything else. So I try to tell people, don't go too crazy with what you choose, but really something that you don't mind the smell of because you'll be sitting there for, 20, 30 minutes or so. And letting it sit there. But you want to massage from the base of the hair follicle down to the tip of the follicle so that the entire length of the hair gets the benefit of the oil.
Really? Okay. And so, how many more steps are there to this process? And what's the next one?
That's about it in terms of steps. Some women with longer hair may even braid their hair to keep it in place. And then they will, hang out for about 30 minutes and then rinse it out. Some people will even put a little lemon in their hair after the oil, just so that when they do go to rinse out the hair, the oil comes out a little bit easier. So it doesn't feel like it takes a little while to work it out.
Oh, that's
And
the
they,
first time I've heard that. Okay.
yeah, it helps dislodge some of the excess oil that's there and built up. Wash your hair with just a regular shampoo. Some people may not even condition on those days because they might feel like they just have a little too much hydration already and don't need the added conditioner. And that's really it. That's all it takes is that, basically giving yourself about a 30 to 40 minutes of time once a week or every other week to take that time for your hair, to let it replenish itself. I mean, think about how much pollution and other factors impact your hair too. You're really saying to yourself, I'm trying to improve the quality of my hair on a routine basis by doing this.
Right. So listen, I mean, this is, I'm really what you're doing is confirming a lot of what people say often, but now the fact that you supported it saying that we have data. So now I want to know, what are the results that you're seeing in your practice?
So what I find a lot is that what the reason why I really set out to really understand this practice and learn more about it and not foo-foo it away and say, oh gosh, that's just crazy, is to say, well, what I realized very early on is I've been trained to, give certain tools, medications that we know work for hair loss based on, the literature, data, FDA approvals, things of that nature. If I can tell somebody to use minoxidil or spironolactone or Propecia, but the reality is they won't do it unless it makes sense to them or that they can integrate it into a routine that they already do.
Right.
Otherwise, they're the standard person who'll say, I tried it for a couple months, nothing happened. And then they just kind of say, well, that didn't work. And they give up on it. But hair is such a personal thing. You don't want somebody to say, they're not going to do anything. You just want to make a routine out of it that makes sense in the context of what they already do. So what I found was is understanding this and understanding the steps that women and men are taking there was to say, well, if you're worried about hair loss, I have other things I can integrate into the routine that you're already doing. And saying, I understand that you're using these hair oils. Why don't we try to do this? Why don't we integrate minoxidil in one of those steps, either on a daily basis or even on the days that you're doing the hair oiling and see how much more growth you get out of it by stimulating some production of hair through methods we know do work. It may mean they're not using it as routinely as we want, but it can build from there. You know, if they start to see benefits and results and say, you know what, it didn't seem so bad using that. Let me try making it more frequent and see if I get more benefit out of that topical you mentioned. There's that, again, that mutual respect where they feel like, you know, you trusted in what I do. Now I'll trust in what you do and see how we can both benefit from that then too.
Right. So listen, ladies, this is for you. This topic is for you if you are experiencing hair loss, but it's also for you if you're not. As Dr. Ilias mentioned, this is good for prevention and maintenance, right?
Absolutely. That's actually the biggest benefit.
That's the big prevention is the biggest benefit.
Oh, I think so. Because I feel like if we can avoid it in the first place, we're always playing catch up. And you know, whenever you're looking for your hair to regrow, it's like watching grass grow or water boil. It's the slowest process imaginable. And it's frustrating. I mean, I can't tell you how often I'll see people on a monthly basis for various types of hair loss just to follow or track the growth. And you know, we'll have to magnify and look for it and see. And then it's almost like you have to photograph it to see the benefit. But I feel like, gosh, this, if we could just stop it in the first place or take it, delay it as long as possible, knowing that genetics and hormones always catch up with us. But there are ways that we can do that by changing some of our routines as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Now, I do want to transition really quickly because we brought up something that's very interesting, and this is mostly about your clothing line, Amber Noon.
Yes.
So, talk to me about that and the mission and the thought process behind that.
So again, I'm one of those physicians that really realizes very quickly that I can prescribe and tell people to do certain things, but unless I can make things the routine that works into their daily sort of idea of what they do every day, it's just not going to work. I can tell people to wear sunblock till I'm, you know, blue in the face. And the reality is, and myself included, I get frustrated with sunblock. I can see it on my skin. I look pasty. It doesn't look like my skin color.
Right.
It's very frustrating. And so what I realized in understanding that is that we need simpler solutions. And I started to study textiles because I really felt like the solution isn't sticking the sunblock in our clothing directly, because again, that's more chemical exposure. We don't know the impact on the environment or our health from doing so. And what I found was most clothing companies were doing that said that they were sun protective. So I thought, you know, what if I really found textiles, studied them where we can actually create them that they're sun protective based on the weave of the textile so that the fibers are woven closely together enough that they block UV predictably every time. And so I actually am in the process of patenting some of these textiles, but we started the line about 2017, almost 4 years ago now. And it's been great. We started online, had a brick and we now have a brick and mortar store. I have a diffusion line on QVC. It's been a really fun process. Yeah. I think it's just basically trying to make it wearing sunscreen as simple as getting dressed stylishly, not the kind of thing where you're wearing something that looks medicinal because you feel like you have to wear it to block the sun.
Oh,
Like
these are
even this,
stylish clothing. Okay.
yes, like even the outfit I'm wearing today is part of the line as well. This is part of our QVC line as well.
Oh, okay.
And so it's the kind of thing where we want to say it just looks cute. You're wearing it because it's stylish and it's cute, but you get this bonus that it's sun protective as well too.
That's awesome. Look at that. In a big
Oh,
city. Okay. And I'm
thank you.
just curious if you have studies that back, pretty much your clothing line.
Yes, so we have a tremendous number of studies where I actually had to study textiles down to the right composition that actually gives you the composition that makes your textile breathable but still sun protective and still sustains UV protection through 40 washes. So it's sustainable clothing where it's not going to wear out after 7 washes or 8 washes. This is clothing that can go through the washing machine 40 times, washes and dries, and it actually maintains its UV protection.
So, what do you say to the multi-ethnic woman, the black brown woman who's watching this, who says, well, that's not for me?
I think the main thing to remember is it is for all of us because the reality is UV is all around us. We have a little inherent UPF or SPF from our skin color. Coloring may prevent us from getting that substantial burn right out of the gate, but it is still impacting our skin. We do still see sun damage that impacts us down the road. Maybe the risk of skin cancer is not as high, but it is still there. It's actually, I think we're finding it's probably underdiagnosed as well, because even physicians aren't always thinking skin cancer and skin of color. And we need to educate doctors more on understanding that as well. But also anti-aging. I mean, how many women do you know as they get older say, I just don't like the quality of my skin, this tissue paper-like wrinkling that develops? That's sun damage that did that primarily. That's not necessarily inherent aging of the skin. We need to be protecting our skin. What I love about my clothing too is I have these design features where we actually have studied body surface area, how much is covered by the clothing, but we integrate everything has these features where we can reveal and conceal, where just about everything has these little thumb tabs to pull over, but to pull
Wow.
back as well, where it looks like, again, just a cute design. Style, but it actually is actually meant to be there for you to pull down. So I don't always have to wear sunscreen on my arms because I know I can just pull my sleeve down is the
Oh,
bottom
wow.
line.
You know what I find funny? I find funny that if you say, oh, don't do something because you can get cancer, people are like, eh. But if you're like, but if you do this, anti-aging properties, benefits are like through the roof, and we're like running, like, okay, how can I get it? And I'm speaking for
Exactly.
myself, guilty, right?
Oh, we all are guilty of the same
Thank you
thing.
so much for joining us today on the Supernaturals podcast. Where can people find you for any type of hair, skin, treatment and help, support? And then where can they find your clothing line?
So they can find me. I'm right outside of Philadelphia. I'm a part of a large group called Schweiger Dermatology. So if you go to schweigerderm.com and look up my name, you'll find me there. My clothing line is online, ambernoon.com, and I have a huge blog that actually goes through all the oils and other treatments and other things people have asked about over the years. There's hundreds of our posts there that just talk about common things that people ask about every day. And I'm much more of a practical solution kind of person as opposed to an expensive solution kind of person. And so you find lots of easy,
Okay,
DIY recipes you can do at home because I'm much more about the natural approach than anything else.
well, thank you so much. Okay, we really appreciate having you here on the Supernaturals podcast. Do not be a stranger.
Thank
Absolutely
you.
not. Again, ladies, thank you for stopping by. Again, this was Indian Hair Oiling Methods, a homeopathic way to treat your hair loss. And yes, check her out, okay? Take
Thank you.
care.
Thank you so much.
Bye.